Then there's a finite energy gap between above this nearly the inner ground state. So this statement makes sense only in a limit where the number of lattice sites go to infinity. So the concept of gap system already is a thermodynamic limit. And there's no concept of gap system for finite system. So therefore, this concept of a gapped quantum system actually is a property not for a single Hamiltonian and single vector space, but actually it's property for a sequence of a Hamiltonian and a vector space in a limit where number of sites go to infinity. So in this limit, we say that if the Hamiltonian have a property that we have this degenerate subspace, this epsilon goes to zero as n go to infinity, and this delta remain finite as n go to infinity, then we say this sequence is a gapped system. So this is just one point. And so therefore, the gapped quantum system is not a single Hamiltonian, but a sequence. And also, a ground state is not a single state, but a subspace. So in physics, we use terminology kind of very loosely. And so when people say a ground state of a gapped system, they actually means a subspace. At least I would mean a subspace of a ground state subspace. And when I say a gapped quantum system, I don't really mean a single system. I really mean a sequence of a system. So those are kind of a little bit careful definition. And with this careful definition, and we can now we can try to define what is a phase. You know, above we just define the gap state, a gap system. But what is a gap phase? The gap phase basically is the equivalence class of a gap state. And so we say that if a two gap states, suppose you have a epsilon zero, epsilon so psi zero, psi one, as two gap states. But two gaps really means two subspace. So this does not really mean one state. It just means this symbol means a subspace. Okay. And then we say that these two gap states belong to the same phase if and only if they can be adiabatically connected through this so-called local unitary evolution. So basically, we have a local Hamiltonian, which can evolve this subspace zero to subspace one. You can just adiabatically evolve. Okay. And this local really means that this Hamiltonian, the operator which evolve between two states, is a sum of local operators. So this only has short-lived interactions. Okay. So this definition basically is our familiar adiabatic connection. That is because here we consider the system with energy gap. So that's one system is here, and another system is here. However, we can evolve one system to another system continuously without encounter any phase transition singularity. And so then we say this the state zero and the state one is the same, belong to the same phase. So this is a usual picture. But however, in quantum information, there is a theorem. Is that they say that every this adiabatic evolution like this, which I want to say, this adiabatic evolution actually is unitary operator, which map this subspace fully to this subspace. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between this ground state subspace. And this unitary operator for this adiabatic evolution actually can be expressed as a quantum circuit. The quantum circuit actually is another way to produce a unitary operator. But this way is that we just perform a unitary operation on nearby qubits. Suppose we have a site, and we just perform some unitary operation on some nearby sites. And so each box is a unitary operation, then we have a non-overlapping box performing a layer of unitary operation on nearby sites. That's one layer. Then we have a second layer, which can overlap with first layer and third layer, etc. And here we assume that we can evolve 0 to 1 by using finite layers, regardless of system size. Remember, these states are gap states. That really means we have a sequence of system. So therefore, regardless size of a system, we always have a quantum circuit of finite layers, which can evolve 0 to 1. Okay. So then this kind of relation by quantum circuit will be called a log unitary transformation rather than evolution. So it will be kind of a similar thing. Okay. So both are really equivalent thing. And so this local unitary transformation really define an equivalence relation. So therefore, any two Guangxi subspace related by this unitary local unitary transformation will be, say, equivalent. And this equivalent class is our definition of a phase. So what do you mean by gapped quantum phase? So this is a gapped quantum phase. OK. And so this is a kind of a picture for gapped quantum phase. So we have a sequence of Hamiltonian described by H, and another sequence described by H prime. And then we say that their Guangxi subspace are connected by this local unitary transformation for every size for every sequence. So this is just a picture. And but however, this sounds reasonable. But actually, this definition of quantum phase have a serious flaw. That is, this definition is seems okay and for translation environment system. You know, when you have a translation environment system, then there is a canonical way to make system bigger and bigger. You just copy. Just copy the part of system and make system bigger and bigger. Okay. But however, here we want to discuss a phase of matter without any symmetry, including translation symmetry. Suppose we want to discuss phase of matter without any symmetry. If you don't have translation symmetry, it became a little bit tricky to see how do you design the sequence of a system without translation symmetry. Because if you don't have translation symmetry, when you enlarge the system, you can add anything you like. It don't have to be related to the previous parts. For example, when you enlarge system, the first beginning, your smaller system are system of, say, hydrogen atoms. Then you can add a piece, make it bigger, but you add lithium atoms. You know, nobody prevent you to do that. And then whenever you enlarge system, and we didn't say anything about maybe when you enlarge system for N3 size is a hydrogen atom. For N4 size, everything is a lithium atoms. Why not, you know? And then there's a two system described by lithium atom are related. And this size, two system described by hydrogen atom are related. So you can see it's kind of get out of hand, you know. We don't have a control of the sequence. So this meaning of a phase when you don't have translation symmetry, it's become very tricky, you know. And so there's a serious flaw. And so to solve this problem, see here we introduce another more precise concept. It's called a gapped quantum liquid phase. We add this meaning, this word, liquid. Okay. So this became more precise definition of a gapped quantum phase. Well, we need this liquid qualifier. So this liquid really means that the system of a different size, when you're changing size of a system, and we cannot say the system with different size are connected by local unitary transformation. Because the local unitary transformation do not change dimension for a vector space. So the system of this inside, the vector space are different. So here, the key point is that we have this sort of the local addition. we add product states to the smaller system. So this thing, we just add some states, like qubits, but they are product states, a pretty trivial product states. Then we add some product state to make a new vector space of same dimension of a larger system. And when these two vector states have same dimension, then we say, okay, they are related by a local unit transformation. So this is called a generalized local unit transformation. Basically, it's a local unitary or a local addition or some operation combination made by combination of two. So we say, so here's the important thing. If two states with different degree freedom, but they are differ by this local degree freedom, this product states, then we say they are kind of in the same phase. So this is the key. So now we have a way to connect a system of a different size. Then everything here is connected. So this define a proper equivalence relation. So the system in the big size are related are in the same phase with the system of smaller size, and the two different systems also in the same phase. They are equivalent, so they're everything in the same phase. So this is a proper equivalence relation. Okay. So actually, this is a very, very important this kind of feature. That is, as a system getting bigger and bigger, they only differ by some kind of product states. Then you say, well, maybe the whole system is a product state. Because if you think about that, at the system size getting bigger and bigger, you only add the product states. Then you think intrinsically, there's nothing in the system, just product states, there's nothing. But actually, it turns out there are something. So there's some intrinsically, there's something in the system, and which unchanged as the system getting bigger and bigger. And so therefore, so the picture is that you have many body system with some entanglement. And this entanglement have some pattern. And this pattern do not care about the system size. As the systems grow, you just add actual product states. But this pattern is there. So this pattern, this is the thing. Is what we try to isolate. So that became this captured by this equivalence class. And then you may ask following question. So let's expand this a little bit. Is that so certainly a gapped quantum liquid phase is a special case of a gapped quantum phase, which probably is even not properly defined. But anyway, and however, we may ask whether every gapped quantum phase is a gapped quantum liquid phase or not. Certainly not. So actually, there are some counter examples. NK plus one is bigger than NK. So this is a number of qubits, for example. And then we just add a little some more qubits, which is make up this difference. So this is Dirac product state. So this means a Dirac product state. This is a. Oh yeah, this means okay. So this is another subtlety. Is that as you increase the system in this sequence, we say maybe every time we enlarge the system by a constant factor. We do not want to say every time we enlarge the system, suppose we have nk. So we say if your nk plus 1 is equal to nk times e to the nk, this maybe grow too fast. And we don't like that. Okay. So basically, we try to say is that every time we only enlarge nk by some finite factor. By finite factor, there's an important thing. Actually, the added qubits do not have to be uniform. But however, we should not pile all the qubits in one point. So somehow this added qubit more or less still more or less uniformly distributed. So the density of qubits remain to be finite. We don't make a density very singular. So there's a lot of detail here which I overlooked, but somehow, but those are very important. And because when in Nexa when you do local unit trees, you need to know which added qubits closer to which original qubits. So those information of distance should be there, and then that determines the distance and determine what mean by local unit tree in the next step. And so density more or less uniform, and this density more or less uniform will be most conveniently say if every time we just increase the number of sites by some factor. Okay. And so this way we can define the phase without translation symmetry. Okay. So this is a very careful definition of a gapped quantum phase. So let's consider some examples. And so there's a pretty trivial gapped quantum liquid system, which is just given by this it's not even transverse Lattice model, just a free spin in the magnetic field. So every spin is polarized. So the ground state just all spin up. So that's obviously the product states. And that is and you can, the system size can keep growing. So this is a gapped liquid phase. Okay. And so it's more interesting to say, what is a counterexample? What is a gapped quantum system which is not liquid? Okay. So here's an example. It's the same Hamiltonian except that there is a spin in the middle, do not interact with anything. So the magnetic field is zero for on this single spin at the middle. So here, the picture is one dimension, but the Hamiltonian rating is one dimension, but the picture is two dimension. But anyway, so this so there is a single spin in the middle, do not see anything. So therefore, this system have a twofold degenerate ground states. The spin can be up and down for this single free spin. But every other spin, experience magnetic fields, they're all polarized and have a gap. So why this is not a liquid? Because of falling. So there's one way to perform local addition. We add the spin, all the other spin to the left half of the system. This is okay. Density is still finite, so we don't increase, we don't make an infinite density. But when you do this local addition and the local unit tree, we find that this free spin became to this a four third of the x, the four third of the system, not in the middle anymore. Or we can add a local spin to the right half. Then now the free spin became a first quarter. So therefore, this two way to do the local addition, we produce different system and higher. In a larger size, but the free spin at a different location, and these two free spin are not connected by local unitary. I think it's not connected by local unitary because the free spin kind of far away. We probably need many operation to move free spin to here, many local operation to shift the spin around. Okay, so. So this really bring up one thing which I did not emphasize is that this kind of local unitary equivalence relation should be we should have this local unitary equivalence for any local addition as long as the density of local addition is a constant, do not blow up, you know, and so therefore no matter how we do local addition, the enlarged system looks the same. They all connect to each other. So in some sense, this really say that these quantum liquid states have ability to dissolve product states. So you can, this is a nature of a quantum liquid that if you add some product states, you do some kind of local unitary, this product state would be dissolved into the quantum liquid. Okay. So this is so this ability to dissolve product states it's a true nature of this quantum liquid. Yes. Yeah. If a circuit have a, you know, allow circuit to have infinite depth, then you can do anything. So here it's very important. The quantum circuit always have finite size, regardless of system size. System would go to infinity first. The circuit have many, many depths, but the system size would go to infinity first. And so this is very important. Okay. So actually, another example, let me get another example. For example, the Ising model, this a transverse tensor model have symmetry breaking ground states. Actually, this is a gapped quantum liquid. And but a counter example, actually, we can consider a two plastic flash quantum states. And we can stack many 2D quantum model states into to form a three-dimensional system. And this three-dimensional system is not a quantum liquid. So a three-dimensional gapped system obtained by stacking two-dimensional quantum power states, they are not liquid. And the reason is that it intrinsically have this layer destruction, even though the Hamiltonian may connect coupling between layers, maybe very strong coupling. But for some reason, the ground state have this intrinsic layered structure. When you enlarge a three-dimensional system, the number of layer cannot grow if you do this local unitary adding this product state. If you add the product states, the number of layer cannot change. But the usual scaling of a three-dimension, the layer also grows. Okay. So therefore, the stacked quantum Hall state is not liquid. Any question here? I hope you see this. Yeah.
Can you add, you said that product states to the edge, the liquid dissolves it without affecting the bulk. The bulk of the quantum spin liquid will not get affected. Is that?
For quantum spin liquid, they actually is a liquid. So in a sense, usually when you have a quantum spin liquid, we can add product states in a bulk. And then we kind of dilute the quantum spin liquid. But actually, after unitary transformation, we get the same quantum spin liquid. So we don't see any change. But however, for the stacking quantum Hall states, you know, making system bigger in a natural way and adding product states, these two operations produce different results. Because when you're adding product states to grow the system, you find the layer do not grow. Number of layer do not grow in Z direction. But however, if you enlarge system in a natural way, you know, from stacking, then when you enlarge system, the number of layer also grow linearly with the size in Z direction. So therefore, the natural growth of a system, this is a sequence where different size have a different number of layers, are not connected by adding product states. Because here we have a sequence, but in this three-dimensional stacked quantum Hall states, the sequence of different size of a system have a different number of layers. And this different number of layer cannot be connected by adding product states. So this is not a product state. So it's not liquid state. You know, why we talk about this? You know, it's so obvious, so we don't need to talk about that, actually. Well, the reason we need to talk about this is because there's something, this Haas Cubius code. It's also an example which is not a liquid. And this example is a much more non-trivial, because the Hamiltonian is more or less kind of have a not really cubic symmetry, but more or less do not have any preferred direction, looks like. So basically, Hamiltonian, let me describe this Hamiltonian a little bit, is that it have a two spin 1/2 per side, okay? And so therefore, on each side, we have an operator. So this operator can be identity of sigma z, or two sigma z, and et cetera. So this Haas Hamiltonian have a two term. The first term is it's an 8-body interaction term. So it have operator in these 8 sites. It's all tensor product of this operator on this 8 site. And the each side, we put this operator acting on 2 spins like this. So this is the first term. And the second term will be sigma x, you know, the second term also have 8-body interaction, but it's this term, that second term. It turns out that by design, these 2 terms commute. You can check, these two terms commute. So this Hamiltonian is a commuting projector. Actually, these 2 Hamiltonian, the GZ squared equal to 1, so not really projector, but kind of like a spin. So therefore, this is a totally soluble Hamiltonian. It's not soluble. We know the ground state, we know all the excited state, all the spectrum, everything. It turns out that the ground state of this Hamiltonian is not liquid state. Because the ground degeneracy of this Hamiltonian changes depending on the system size in a very weird way. It's kind of like here. For example, if you have periodic boundary condition, we have stuck in quantum positive, we have many layers. Then if each layer have degeneracy m, then we have LZ layers, the degeneracy will be exponential m to the LZ's power. But however, you can deform the boundary condition a little bit. You say, as we go from 0 to L, you know, the state that connected to here, they are all connected. So they are connected to here, connected to here. So effectively, the whole system with this little bit twisted boundary condition actually only have one layer, so they're all connected together. So for this twisted boundary condition, the ground state energy will be m, just like one layer. However, if you twist twice, then it's m squared. So you can see that the ground state energy is a little bit crazy, depending on the detail of the size system and how the boundary condition is arranged, and et cetera. And similarly, there's a Haas Hamiltonian also have a similar structure. So therefore, the gapped quantum phase or gapped quantum system is very, very complicated. I mean, their entanglement structure is very, very complicated. And it's hard to study. And this liquid requirement, if you require this to be liquid, that you can dissolve all the product states, is much simpler. And so this gapped quantum liquid that can dissolve any product states are much simpler. It's like a topological quantum field theory. That's all nice things are there. But however, with this discussion, I want to emphasize that there are very strange beasts out there. And we don't know whether one can use quantum field theory to describe them or not, because they are so weird. But this weird system exists and pretty naturally exists, like this is defined for the translation environment system. You can have that. But however, this weird system have a more complicated entanglement structure. That's what my message I don't bring out. So you know, topological order is a very rich, very fancy topic already. But it represents the simplest entanglement structure. And there is an even more exotic entanglement structure, which is represented by this non-liquid state, like a staggered quantum Hall system, which is pretty trivial, and a Haas cubic code. And then there is an issue about how do you characterize this more exotic entanglement structure? So here it means you want to go beyond the topology order. You know, topology order is a new kind of order beyond the Landau symmetry breaking. But topology order is not everything. Actually, there is something beyond topology order. What is beyond topology order? So beyond topology order, actually, one way, I didn't write reference. Actually, the Brian Schwindel and John McGreevy have a paper, which is called S-source. It's called S-source entanglement structure. I don't know why it's called S. But basically, it's a following. You know, in our approach, when we enlarge the system, we just add the product states. Sorry. If you add the product states, then we get a bigger system. So this is the idea. But there's another entanglement structure that the bigger system can never be obtained from smaller system by adding product states. Just like this layered quantum Hall state, you cannot do that. But there's another way to do it. You can have two copy of the smaller system starting together. Then you may add some product state, whatever you like. But the important, you have to have two copy. Then the two copy plus some product states, then this will become a larger system. So this is really two source. This is called two source. We have two copy. Oh, there initially, no. But however, when you do local unitary, the new system is because initially, these product states and different layer, they all decoupled. But however, this decoupled system still gap state. And these gap states are local unitary equivalent to this system of bigger size. So therefore, the system of bigger size and the system of smaller size have this funny relation. That's the small system have to copy themselves, double, then bigger. Not, just throwing in product states is not enough. You cannot grow the system by throwing in product states. Okay. If you're doing that, I think this layered quantum Hall state can be produced. Like I don't know whether it's maybe two source, because you can just stacking two systems, you can increase number of layers. Okay. And actually, they also say there's another motivation for this is Fermi liquid. Fermi liquid is gapless, so it's kind of beyond this. But however, the Fermi liquid also have a similar feature that we cannot grow Fermi liquid by adding product states. Because when you grow Fermi liquid by adding product states, the Fermi surface should shrink. Because when you take some of that limit, the Fermi surface, Fermi momentum do not change. But number of K points on the Fermi surface getting bigger and bigger as system size getting bigger and bigger. So to grow the Fermi liquid without changing the KF, you have to do something like this. And so this is the source K. Then you ask, what is a hard state? The hard state is a source 2 or source 3 entanglement structure. No, actually, Juan having studied his entanglement structure. I don't know, but he told me that it's this. For the Haas code, to enlarge the system, we have to add something. But the thing we add is not product states. It's something else. So let me use this curl box. So we have to add something to make system bigger. So that's Haas cubic code. And the thing you add have a source 2 entanglement structure. So you add something which is not product state, and also not liquid state. You add something with a source 2 entanglement structure to make system bigger. Okay. And that's it. So this is all I know about this. But I just want to say that there is another totally open world out there. This entanglement structure beyond topological order. And so we don't really have too much thing to say. And those systems, it's very likely it's not described by quantum field theory. Because quantum field theory doesn't look right. And but something very interesting. So it's there. And
is it possible to write down, let's say, ground state wave function for this Haas state?
Yeah, you can write down.
And does it look pretty unfamiliar?
They all look unfamiliar because of the point is that in many body theory, I think the advantage of many body theory is that we don't write down ground state wave function. So we define ground state algebraically by, say, annihilated by some operator and describe excitation by creating by some operator. So almost every many body ground state wave is unfamiliar. But certainly it's not later determined and not product state, which are more familiar one. It's something, but yeah, I don't know what to say. Things like the ground state dependency, when you have a periodic boundary condition, the ground state dependency depends on size system in a crazy way. You know, for one size, it can be 2. If you add size by 1, it can be exponential or linearly exponential or something, or algebraically many. You know, they're all kind of factor-like dependence. So the reason for that this may have a very complicated entanglement structure. Yeah. Okay. So the entanglement structure is pretty complicated. It's and very interesting. And I think in this series lecture, we'll only study some more boring one. It means we can grow the system by adding product states, and this is called a gap liquid states, and those are easier one. And those systems seems can be described by a quantum field theory or a topological quantum field theory, etc.
So
yeah.
What you say, it looks as if by adding, it is a freedom.
Yeah.
There is no orthogonality catastrophe. In the sense, take this new product state and the actual ground state. And
yeah. Exactly. So the added system is can dissolve when you change the interaction and allow system to smoothly change without phase transition. The added degree freedom can dissolve into the system exactly without catastrophe. Yeah. And but sometimes for some other thing, some if added degree freedom cannot dissolve into it, then this it's always there, and so that's really means it's not liquid. Yeah. So actually, the topological order, this kind of gap liquid states can only dissolve product states. It cannot dissolve other things. And when you add other things, it may survive. So it's always somehow there's always a different. Yeah. It's kind of like suppose you have a three-dimensional spin liquid. You add a layer of quantum Hall state to the middle. Then no matter what you do, somehow this layer quantum is still always there. It's you know, have their own quasi-particle fraction statistics. Even though the 3D system, 2D system may have a strong coupling, but this is some topological nature of a layer survive, but can never integrate into the 3D system. It's a little bit like an orthogonal catastrophe. It just always looks foreign.
Take the added two as the base and then add.
No, the dual description is very simple because these two terms commute. You can call this is sigma z, this is another sigma z. Then this kind of dual description is.
I don't mean this.
Yeah.
I mean take the added because you add the source two with the. Some kind of system with source to entanglement structure,
yeah.
Into this R cos cubic code,
right? Yeah.
To get something else, a larger system. But can you take this added system as the base and then add these Haas cubic code into?
I don't know what you mean. But one thing I say, the Haas cubic can dissolve these source two states. So this source is very strange. Oh, it's already very strange. But the Haas code can dissolve that. So when you enlarge the system of Haas code, you need to add this source two term, the source two states. And
can you do it oppositely, I mean put it in some simple way. The source two system dissolves Haas system.
No, the Haas state can dissolve source two states. I think not the other. I that's the way that I put in. And or maybe you want to you do shrinking. If you want to, do renormalization, we want to squeeze out some trivial degree freedom out of this Haas code to get a smaller system like a wave function normalization. And actually, this is related to the mirror. In the mirror, really, is that you try to squeeze out some product states, then remove them, then you have a simpler system. And in Haas code, we will try to do this squeezing. What is squeezed out is not product state. It's something entangled. And so another way to say that the Haas cubic code have no mirror description. And but however the quantum liquid by definition always have a mirror description. So this is a holographic principle, ADF, CFT. They all belong to this type of a quantum liquid way of thinking. Yeah.
It's not described by mirror, but it's described by branching.
Branching mirror, yeah. Yeah. So there's a So this maybe which I heard his talk, but I really don't understand it. But I'll try to say that if you do mirror, that would be a way to understand liquid states. But to understand the more entangled structure, maybe something like a branched mirror, some generalization of that of some state, that's probably would capture. That would be the machinery to describe this more complicated branching structure, entanglement structure. Okay, so I think I'm really going slow. Anyway, so far what I describe is a bosonic liquid states. So there's a fermionic version. You know, there's a bosonic liquid, there's a fermionic liquid, and the two definitions are different. So let me just emphasize this difference. Remember, for the fermionic liquid states, we have lots of local unitaries. But the local unitary basically is an operator which acts on, say, ijk or I prime, j prime, k prime on different sites. If ijk and ijk prime do not overlap, then obviously this operator commute. So therefore, each box acts on the local site and they also commute. And this defines the bosonic local unitary. However, for the fermion system, almost the same thing. We say that each layer is a product of local unitaries. But the local unitary in fermion only means that the operator on different cluster commute. They do not mean that this operator should be written, should be acting in this subspace. This is a very strange thing. I don't know what I'm talking about, but there's a way to label the operator. Because the operator do not act on this space. Now, how do you know the IJK subindex? It's acting everywhere. You know, where this index comes from? I don't know. But suppose we can just index in certain way. We index in certain way, although this operator acts on everywhere, not on this subspace. But however, the operator with different index commute. As long as the index, if their index don't overlap, they commute. And so therefore, we allow more general local unitary. So this local unitary is different. And an example, if you're using fermion creation operator, and annihilation operator is very easy. We say that this local unitary are always like an exponential of an even fermion operator. And the fermion operator are located at those sites. So we'll define this operator this way. You can check this kind of operator always commute if the index don't overlap. So therefore, the local unitary that define equivalent relation for boson system and fermion system are very different because this locality of operator is very different. The phase, the gap the phase of a boson system and the gap the phase of a fermion system are quite different. And their mathematics are very different because the definition for local unitary is different. So therefore, at the moment, we have a lot of development, a lot of progress using this local unitary for the bosonic system. But the fermion system, because those operators are essentially non-local, although they commute. And the systematic understanding of a fermion system and the phase of a fermion system is more difficult, and we don't have a very good theory. But this is just a point. So with this kind of precise, careful description of a gap phase or gap quantum liquid phase, then we can really discuss what is topology order. So basically, you say what is topology order? That topology order actually is a gapped quantum liquid phase. Okay, almost by definition, we define topology order as a gapped quantum liquid phase, and we don't need any symmetry, including translation symmetry. We don't need any other symmetry. So historically, we used to think that the phase always come from symmetry breaking. The different phase always come from symmetry breaking. If there's no symmetry, there's only one phase. No symmetry breaking, only one phase. And however, the You see that if you think about entanglement, then there's we can kind of understand actually there's a phase beyond the signature breaking. So think about entanglement basically is that there are so-called shorter entangled states, which is a shorter entangled state basically the state which can be connected to product states by these local unitaries. So basically they are just product states with some nearby entanglement. So that's kind of picture. And then the key point is that we believe that there are also so-called long-range entangled states. And those long-range entangled states are not connected to the product states by these local unitaries. They cannot be connected. So there's something there. Okay. If you believe these are long-range entangled states, then you say this entanglement are not connected by local unitary, they must belong to different phase. Because the local unitary equivalence is like our definition of phase. And so therefore, if you believe there's something very different from product states, then you say there must be a new phase, a matter beyond the symmetry. And also, it's easy to believe that although all the shorter entangled states are connected between each other, so all the shorter entangled states belong to the same phase. Because they are connected to product state, and the product states are connected to each other by local unitaries. And so all the shorter entangled states belong to one phase. But however, the longer entangled states may belong to different phase. Is that although the longer entangled states are not connected to the product states, they also not connect to each other. It's also possible. So therefore, this different class of entanglement, which are not connected by this local unitary, will be called the long-range entangled state, and this is really the topological order. So therefore, this topological order really describes this long-range entanglement, different pattern of long-range entanglement. And so this is just a very abstract description and of a topological order and definition. So let me just give some example. So to create entanglement, just make superpositions. You know, if you only have all spin up, then that's certain product state, not entangled. Then we have superposition all spin up, spin down. If you sum over all possible spin configuration of spin up and down, actually we get the product states. Because this happens to be the states where spin all in x directions. Okay. So if you do too much, you don't get anything. Okay. And so the key, one way to produce long-range entanglement is that we want to have entanglement, we want a superposition, but we do not want to make a superposition of everything. So one idea is that we do a subset. We only consider superposition of a subset of spin configuration. And that may give us a long-range entanglement. And a subset, one way to choose subset is using string picture. We say the up spin is my background. The down spin form loops. So down spin always form loops. Okay. Then instead of summing over all possible spin configuration, we sum over all possible loop configuration. So we just sum over all possible loop configuration. And this gives us some wave function. Okay. And this wave function actually is a long-range entangled. So that's one way to produce this long-range entangled states. So this is a long-range entangled states, and they also gapped quantum liquid states. Okay. And then we can play more games. Say, okay, we can add some phase here. So here is an equal weighted superposition of all possible loops. So we can add some phase. Say the phase is we have even number of loop, we have plus, odd number of loop, we have minus. Well, we can do, why not? We can just do that. So that's give us another wave function. Or we can do more. Say instead of minus one phase, we can do the e to the I theta for some arbitrary theta. You know, can we do that? Yeah. So this is a those are kind of ideas. So maybe we can get some long-range entangled states. That's one point. Another point is that you say, well, superposition of loops is it's a theory of toys. You know, it's hard to, what do you mean by how to make that? It's very hard to have a system realizing these weird states. But actually, it's not that weird. So actually, for the Frasier system, so this is here, I have a picture of a spin in a Kagome lattice. Okay, with anti-ferromagnetic interaction. So we have anti-ferromagnetic interaction for spin 1/2 in the Kagome lattice. The spin want to form a singlet. So this kind of RVB states. Okay, this is one of RVB configuration So this bar means a spin on the form a singlet. Okay, but however, any singlet configuration may have a low energy. So maybe Chu Guangxi is the superposition of all different singlet covering. This is RAB covering. Okay, and then actually this RAB states, this superposition of all this RAB covering is related to the string. Because let's take this red as my reference state. So you can pick any RAB covering as a reference state. Then consider any other RAB covering like this blue one. You put them on top of each other. Then you can trace the red and blue. You can see that this red and blue just form loops. You can see and this one is just a very small loop. It's just a red and blue back. And here you have a loop. Okay, that's a loop. However, we have a free spin, which is not paired. Then that's the end of loops. So free spin became end of loop. Okay. So therefore, sum over different RAB configuration is like summing over these loop configurations. And so therefore, this kind of RAB picture and this superposition string picture are very closely related. And so therefore, for the fractured system, there's a possibility maybe we can get this loop configuration. Okay. And just writing down the wave function is not good enough, actually. There is a concern. Because when you write down the arbitrary wave function, there's a concern that whether your wave function is a ground state of a local Hamiltonian or not. When you arbitrarily write down the wave function, there's a possibility that your wave function can never be realized as a ground state of a local Hamiltonian. So this is indeed the problem, actually. It turns out that these two states can be realized as a ground state of a local Hamiltonian in two dimensions, and this one cannot. In three dimensions, only this one can be realized as a ground state of a three-dimensional system. This one cannot be realized as a three-dimensional local Hamiltonian, and certainly not this one. So there's something more to it. And to see this, we want to say that if the wave function can be determined by local rules, then it can be realized. So what I mean by local rule? So here, let me just give some example. So first we have a local rule is that all the spin form loops, no open end. So all the down spin form loops. So this is kind of, whether they form a loop or not, you can examine, test this locally. So you have open end, you give energy penalty. When the downspin form a loop, you say that energy is low. So you can do that. Okay, so that's the first rule. The second rule is that the amplitude of the wave function do not change if you deform the loop a little bit. So this again can be checked locally. Then the third local rule is that when the string reconnect, the amplitude also do not change. Okay. So therefore, we can using local rules to specify the wave function rather than just specify wave function globally. So we're using local rules. It turns out that this kind of move, this deformation and the reconnection move is egotic. So every string configuration, loop configuration, can be connected to any other loop configuration by these two kind of moves. And then these two moves, say the wave function should be the same amplitude. So that means all the loop configuration have the same amplitude. So that should really means the global wave function is what we expect. It's an equal weight superposition of all loops. So therefore, this kind of configuration, this string wave function, can be realized, specified by local rules. And then that means there's possibility that we have a Hamiltonian, local Hamiltonian, and realize this as a ground state. And the second wave function, which the wave function is a minus one to number of loops, this wave function can also be realized by local rules. Because this, we can just modify the reconnection local rule with a minus sign. You say, when string reconnect, there's an actual minus sign, the wave function changing sign. And you can see that in two dimensions, for example, when you have a reconnection, then we get actual loops. So every time you reconnect, the number of loops either increase by one or decrease by one. So therefore, so reconnection gave us a minus sign really means that the wave function just minus one to a number of loops. That's fine. Then here, we also see that it has to be minus one. Huh? Either I theta does not work. Because the reconnection sometimes gives us a plus one, sometimes gives us a minus one. And so if you only have a one phase here, then we may have frustration. So what I try to say is that if you don't put the minus sign, put e to the I theta here, and this local rule are not self-consistent. In a sense, you can do this move from one string configuration going through a loop and back to its original configuration. We hope this rule gave us phase one. There's no actual phase going back to the original configuration. However, these two local rules satisfy this condition. That there's no frustration. You can use the local rule to specify the wave function amplitudes consistently, no matter what kind of a path you follow. Because this local rule tell us the relation between the wave function amplitude on different string configuration. But sometimes the two different string configuration can be connected via different paths. And these two way to go from one configuration to another configuration should give us the same results. And these two local rules turn out to have not satisfied this condition. And but however, if you modify the phase here to the e to the minus e to the I theta, they won't satisfy that condition. So that's an incorrect local rule. And also in the three dimension, this local rule no longer satisfies that condition, because in the three dimension we allow string to cross. We allow string to cross. Then the reconnection, sometimes reconnection change the number of loops, and sometimes the reconnection do not change the number of loops.
But there may be some special lattices in three dimensions, like connectivity three.
That would be interesting. So in general, it won't work. But certainly, it would be, yeah, if you have some lattice, where string is not lattice, we will do this, this consistently. You can make this minus sign, but without frustration. And then that means you can define a string wave function, some special lattice in three dimension, and with this local rule. That would be very cool. I don't know what's going on. Actually, this local rule gave us Simians. And we know in 3D, we do not have fractional statistics. And so that's another way this local rule do not appear in three dimension. But in some special lattice, whether there's something, that'd be really interesting. But this is kind of, so actually this is all the bit very elementary thinking. It's just, we just want to write down the wave function, follow some local rules. You can play games, you can produce a lot of wave function with a different entanglement. And that may lead to something. Maybe just one last slide.
There is such a model by Walker and Wong. This is a 3D lattice with a trivalent.
Yeah.
So you have surface angles.
Yeah.
You have lots of parameters. Sometimes you have surface angles.
Yeah. So the first local rule can appear in three dimension. So that's one of this three dimensional model. Now work and one studied. And but there are more complicated local rule which work in three dimension. And so there is a way to make it work in three dimension. And I just emphasize that in different dimension, this allowed local rule are different. So the wave function, the phase, the topological phase in different dimension are quite different. That's where dimensionality enter into this.